Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. Planet Shakers conference presence at our Cape Town, South Africa campus is just a few weeks away, and we can't wait to experience God's presence like never before with you. Head on to register.planetshakers.co.za to register. Now, let's jump into this week's podcast.
The title of my message today is The Table of Abundance. The Table of Abundance. Look at this graphic. See, apologies for anybody that hasn't had breakfast. This is how amazing our graphics teams are. And I've been looking at that thinking, man, I like that chicken right there. Who's a fan of chicken here? Yeah, come on, put your hands up. Don't be ashamed. Who likes turkey? God bless you if you like turkey. We're more chicken people here. Psalms 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, when the word abundance was declared, all I pictured was this verse. I pictured a table full of abundance. Maybe because I like food, I don't know. But I just pictured a table full of abundance, full of all types of food. For all my Asian brothers and sisters, chakwe chow on the table, whatever you want out there. All the Nigerians here, fufu on the table as well. Egusi. Not many Nigerians in the house, clearly. Something about having a table full of food just brings excitement to everybody. See, a table is a place of communion. It's a place of fellowship, a place of family, a place of provision. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place where we get to understand what our purpose and our mission is. You know, I love this verse because it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, God wants to bless us. The blessing of the Lord is for you and I. See, when Genesis, the Bible says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't ask them to be fruitful and multiply before they got the blessing. He blessed them first. The blessing of the Lord is available for you and I. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your background is or how many things you've done right or done wrong. It's available for you and I. And we need to really believe that in our spirits that I am blessed. I am blessed. The blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow with it. And that revelation is very important for us to grasp, because when we get a hold of that, we can begin to dream big. We can begin to ask big. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who's able to carry out his purpose, do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Now, if God is able to bless us more abundantly, more than we dare ask or think, shouldn't we ask for more? If he's able to bless us beyond our dreams, should we not dream bigger? Like, that's a license for us to think big. This year we've been given a license to think big, imagine big, dream big. Go beyond anything we've ever gone before, because God has promised, I'm able to do super abundantly more than you dare ask, think of big. You serve a big God and you are a child of a big God. You know, the other day I was putting my girls to bed and we're just having a bit of a devotion time around this scripture. And I began to ask them, what are you believing for? What are you asking for? And the first one said, look, I'm believing for my friends to all come for Bring Your Body Day when it happens next time. And then the other one, out of nowhere, goes, I'm believing for Planet Uni Central to be full. Come on, who's excited about that? You got a future Planet Uni student there. She needs to go to Boom first before Planet Uni, but anyway. And I'm like, okay, let's think a little bigger. What are you really believing for? And then one goes, I'm believing that I'll make the cross-country team. I'm like, that is fantastic. That's definitely from your mother's side. She's the Kenyan of the family. I don't do any running. That's definitely your mother right there, but great. Now, what else are you believing for? Think bigger. And then my 8-year-old goes, I'm believing that when I grow up, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm like, you know what? That's fantastic. She actually writes down the menus and everything. It's actually quite cute. I'm taking pictures of that. And I'm like, now think bigger. And then Eva, my oldest, the 10-year-old, goes, I'm believing that all our family members will be saved. I'm like, okay, now you're thinking big. See, God doesn't want us to have a limited view to life. He wants us to expand our horizon, to really realize that He's called us to believe big, to think big. What are you believing for your business? What are you believing for in your workplace? Are you just going there to earn a living? Are you just at university to study? Are you believing that God is going to equip you to be a world changer? Are you believing that right now, this very year, you can see your university won for Jesus? Are you believing that God can use you to do great things in your life? It's available for all of us. And the reality is, we need to say, God, help me see through your eyes. Align my spirit with yours so I can believe for a big table and believe that everything on this table here is available for me. Not for me to hold it to myself, but because I'm called to be a blessing to others. I'm called to live a life of abundance. See, on the table, we find that we are there to be anointed. He anoints my head with oil. See, the anointing speaks of divine authority. God has given you and I divine authority. King David, who wrote down this psalm, understood the power of the anointing. See, when Samuel anointed David, it says, they say, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. See, we have been given authority. But what the devil does, he limits our ability to tap into the authority that we've been given. Jesus came down and lived amongst us as a man and operated in the fullness of his anointing. It says this in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that's Jesus speaking, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. And at the time of the Lord's favor, it has come. Then he goes on to say in Luke chapter 10, that we also carry that same authority. Behold, I've given you authority. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have authority. Okay, turn to your other neighbor that you really like and say it with authority. You have authority. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. That's the authority you carry. We carry the authority to be able to take dominion in this world. We are representing heaven and earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in. So we've been given the authority to tap in, to bring down that resource that's available in heaven here on earth. We need to believe who we are. See, Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power. See, that word power means miraculous power, ability, efficiency, might, worker of miracles. So we are called to be workers of miracles. It means strength. It means violence. See, I don't like violence, but in the spirit, I don't mind violence. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. See, your enemies are not the people around you. You don't fight flesh and blood. But we are fighting a battle in the spirit. So we need to realize that we have the authority to dominate things in the spirit. We can shift things in the spirit. And we need to grab that in our spirit and understand who we are. Understand the authority that we've been given. He prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. At the table of abundance, we are offered the finest of wine that represents the fullness of life. It represents walking in communion with God, our Creator. So John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came, come on, someone get excited about this. I came that you might have life. You might have life, enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. We're designed and created to enjoy life to the fullest. You and I have that right to hold on to that cup and let it overflow. See, to overflow means it's a multiplied fulfillment. It's the fulfillment that comes from you being able to help others realize their destiny. You're overflowing with His goodness. And that overflow is tapping into other people's lives as well. There's great fulfillment that comes with that. When you know that you're called to overflow, you're called to allow those blessings and favor to fall on you, but also flow through you. Let them flow through you. And the key to us living in this life of overflow, tapping into that, is when we live a life of obedience. See, obedience is not a heavy word. Obedience simply means alignment. Simply means communion. Living in agreement. Wanting to do things not out of obligation, but out of revelation in who your God is. And when you begin to operate out of revelation, it's not a hard thing to obey. You want to do good. You want to do, and you want to apply the principles of the word. You give out of a heart of obedience because you are in communion with God. You activate the principles that are in the word of God. See, the table is set. It's available for all of us. But something happens when we come to the table. There's hesitation that comes into our spirits. It stops us from tapping into what God has in store for us. I realize that even though all of us know that the table is available, it's not until you see yourself the way God sees you can you fully partake of the table. You know, when I first got married, we had a few ceremonies, my wife and I. My wife's from Kenya and I'm from Zimbabwe. And one of those ceremonies involved us traveling all the way to Kenya in a village called Kisumu, where she's from. And the purpose of that journey is to see all the Kenyans smiling in the house there. Come on now. The purpose of traveling there is for us to go and solidify our relationship. We're pretty much paying dowry. Who knows what dowry is? You must be getting a big dowry in your house, huh? Your dad is excited, eh? I'm a father of three, and yes, I'm getting a lot of dowry for my girls. Praise the Lord. Dowry is a form, it's a gesture of appreciation. It's not meant to be seen as a form of payment, but rather, this is a token of our appreciation for your daughter that we want to marry. Some cultures require for you to bring cows. I had to bring some cows when I went to Kenya. I took them all the way on the plane with me. See, some cultures, though, when we get there for the dowry ceremony, we go through the business side of things first until we reach an agreement, and then we can break bread. Like in my culture, we take things so seriously that if you come in to marry one of our daughters, until we've settled things, we don't even give you the right to sit on a chair. You got to sit on the floor. So this is serious business I'm talking about here. It's just the culture. That's how we do things. Any Zims in the house know what I'm talking about? It's true. But in their culture, they are quite different. So we traveled all the way to Kenya. It took me 22 hours and everything else. And we got there and they took my wife away from me. And they're like, all right, we're starting the business. But I was expecting to go through the whole proceedings first. But instead, they had a full table of food laid out. And they invited us to come and sit at the table to eat. Now, I'll be honest with you. After traveling 22 hours, going to a country that I've never been before, meeting a family that I'd never met before. I didn't have much of an appetite. I didn't feel like I was worthy to partake of the food. I didn't feel like I had the right to do so yet. That's how I saw myself in that moment. See, in life we go through certain situations that stop us from seeing this food table of abundance here, that stop us from realizing that we have a right to partake on this table. We go through things that can make you and I feel unworthy of partaking what's on the table. Sometimes we can start second guessing ourselves, like, am I really called to be here? Does God really want to bless me? Sometimes we can start comparing ourselves with others, like, how come their table is more full than mine? Sometimes we can carry so much guilt and shame that we start thinking, man, I don't think God wants me to partake of this because I'm still struggling with that sin. I'm still struggling with that mindset. Sometimes it's just plain fear. We're so afraid of other people's opinions. We're even afraid to try because we don't want to fail. We're afraid to stretch our hand and take what's available to us because we think, Lord, do I have the right to do this? Sometimes it's a victim mentality where you see yourself as a victim because of things that have happened to you. But God is saying, look, I've set you free. But we continue to see ourselves that mindset, and that stops us from reaching out and taking hold of what's on the table. And sometimes it's a religious mindset. I loved when Dr. Clayton spoke about how religion will stop us from really experiencing the fullness of abundance because we feel like we need to earn the right to partake of this abundance. But God blessed us from the very beginning. His blessing does not have any conditions to it. So don't allow religion to stop you from that. Hey, speaking of Dr. Clayton, yesterday I went boxing with Dr. Clayton. He packs a mean punch, man. I tell you what. Hey, any men excited about Mighty Conference coming up? To all the ladies, the men are looking fit because they've been doing 40 strong. Everybody's working out. See, God wants us to experience everything on the table, and how we see ourselves will determine what we see on the table. We'll also determine our posture to receive everything on the table. Don't allow your failures and your mistakes to stop you from believing that, yes, you have the right to step out again. Don't allow the breakdown of your marriage to stop you from believing that, yes, you can have a healthy marriage again. Continue looking forward. Continue stretching out your hand. See, now here's the thing. God paid the price for us to know that we don't sit at that table as servants. We don't sit at that table as orphans. But we sit at the table as sons and daughters of God. When we sit at the table as sons and daughters of God, we understand that our loving Father wants to bless us in every way. Our loving Father wants us to experience the fullness of this abundance. Romans 8:15-17 in the Message version says this. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? From now on, all my kids will need to come to me every day. What's next, Papa? But do you hear what's being communicated here? It's that picture of intimacy. Just like Pastor Sam invited Jonah to come over and get him to lean into that hug. That's that intimacy where you can Freely dream big to the point you're asking God, hey, this is fantastic. What's next, Papa? See, God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. See, when you know your identity as a son or a daughter of God, you know you have the right to inherit everything that belongs to the Father. You are an heir. You've been engrafted into the line, paid for by blood. So you need to sit without posture, knowing who God has called you to be. You ask with confidence. You dream big because you know your God is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You ask because you know your God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. This table is available for all of us. See, when you have a slave mindset, that's a belief in limited resource, fear of lacking or fear of missing out. There's a sense of competition or comparison with others. See, those with that slavery mindset may feel a constant need to hoard. You sit at that table trying to grab everything now because you think, hey, maybe it might run out. But a son has an abundance mindset, a belief that there's more opportunities coming my way, a belief that there's many resources available to me, a belief that involves focusing on the abundance and having faith that there's always going to be a multiplied effect because God works in multiples. I remember years ago when God challenged me about how I prayed. That you need to change your perspective when you pray. And I read this book, and in this book, this author said, men should not pray for opportunity, but rather pray that they're ready when opportunity arises. So if you understand what that means, it changes how you pray. Instead of always praying for opportunity, saying, God, I know you're faithful to bring that opportunity. So prepare me for that opportunity coming my way. For those believing to meet a husband or wife, instead of begging God for that husband or wife, say, God, no, prepare me. Prepare me to be the best wife possible. Prepare me to be a husband that is ready. Come on, Kimani, I see you smiling there. Prepare me to be a man that's going to steward this resource that you're giving me. You've promised to grow my business. I'm not going to sit here begging for you to grow this business, but prepare me for the enlargement that is coming. Prepare me to be a good steward of what you have in store for me. I'm believing for that PR, Lord. I know you're going to bring it for me. Prepare me to be able to take advantage of it when I get that PR. I am ready because I know it's on the table. So prepare me to be able to steward it well. The table of abundance is available to all of us. But my question to us is, how do you see yourself? Are you a son or a daughter? Are you confident to come on the table? Are you confident to run to the Father? See, when my kids sit on the table, man, they are so relaxed. They are so comfortable because they know they are home. They partake of whatever is available. You know, after I went to Kenya, thank God they said yes, they allowed me to marry this beautiful woman here. A few years later, you may be seated. A few years later, we traveled back to Kenya. And that time I brought my whole family with me from Zimbabwe. We all went together. And as we walked into the home, Immediately the table was set again. But you know what? This time when I sat at that table, there was a different posture to how I sat. I knew I was a son of the house. There was no hesitation in how I was partaking. I had seconds, I had thirds. They were trying to force food down me, and I was all for it. Because I knew who I was, a son of the house. The message today is very simple. God wants you and I to realize that if we're really going to receive this abundance, He wants us to realize a few things. Number one, we are approved to be on the table. Number two, we have access to all the abundance on the table. And number three, we have authority to release the abundance that's on the table as well. You are approved. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You are loved just the way you are, unconditionally. You have access to all His promises. And man, do you carry authority? You carry authority. Move with authority. So before we stand up, just close your eyes where you are. I want you to picture yourself sitting at the table. Maybe your family had a ritual of filling the table with food. Picture that table. Whatever table you're comfortable with. Or maybe you grew up in a home where that wasn't the custom. There was no table. Picture any table you felt welcome. You felt loved. You felt accepted. Picture yourself sitting at the table of abundance that God has in store for you. I want you to see yourself grabbing everything that's on the table. It's available to you. It's yours. You need healing? It's yours. You need provision? It's yours. Restoration? Yours. Time to partake of everything. Some of y'all have been carrying some heavy burdens. You know, there are times when I sit at the table and if I'm home and I'm comfortable enough, I want to take my shoes off because I'm home, you know? Picture yourself taking your shoes off. Get comfortable on the table.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.